RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Dark Delight Podcast with...
It's a girl, Val.
Yes!
And...
Beans! I was going to ask you about that, and I was afraid to. I'm so excited. A little girl.
She's coming.
Dun, dun, dun.
So this is what we're doing. Lauren and I are, we're focusing all of our energy now. And we have a little bit better idea of what's coming.
I am so excited to buy things for her.
Oh, boy.
So excited.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and in other news, so not only Lauren and I having a baby girl in September, but Lauren's cat was arrested this morning
for
crimes against humanity.
Oh, boy.
Yes, I told her that I was going to expose the cat's crimes to the many in the audience at Dark Delight, and Lila has been arrested, so we don't know.
What is Lila's attorney allowing this to be spoken about publicly?
This I don't know. I'm hoping that Lila's attorneys actually withhold Brady material for the I'm rooting for an injustice at this point.
I was surprised that Lila didn't get arrested for assault that day when you banged your head on the desk.
Oh. Well, that wasn't me. That wasn't her. That was the cat at the studio.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. And I got a concussion because of that.
I was definitely
concussed. I was really foggy brained for like 2 weeks.
I know. That was really bad. You had a really nasty cut on your eye. You just weren't the same guy. So what did Lila do? Can you please share it with us? Because that's just, I mean, there must have been serious malfeasance here.
Well, she's constantly plotting against the United States. And against us over here. So Lauren defends her to no end, but we'll see. This will definitely unfold as the weeks go on.
All right.
Okay.
I'll keep an eye on the docket. Make sure things are going okay.
Yep. It'll be on Pacer soon.
So a couple things before we get really into meat and potatoes, and people are going to think I'm beating a dead horse here, probably some of you. But I want to talk about the General Flynn case is front and center. It is so important to everything else. And I want to go through it again. It again.
I can't wait because I need this review badly.
I could do it fast. I want to do it as fast as possible, even though it gets a little in the weeds. But we'll do it in a little bit. Before we do, when we did our show on Friday, the doctors, that press conference that Dr. Erickson and Rasihi did, that video had 40,000 views. On YouTube. Mm. By the time this beginning of the week rolled around, it had almost 5 million.
At the time that it met its eventual demise, I think it was climbing towards 6.
Yes. Yes. So okay, so here's an interesting thing. They were on Laura Ingraham. What was it? Monday? Yeah. They were on Laura Ingraham Monday night. And also on Laura Ingraham Monday night was Dr. Bruce Fung and Joey Gilbert, the two folks that we had on our show on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, it's definitely just a big coincidence, I'm sure. But they both of them. So as soon as he was finished with his Ingraham interview, Erickson and Rasihi, their video was taken down from YouTube. And also Joey Gilbert's YouTube channel was completely... It was they took that down too.
The whole channel?
The whole channel.
I didn't know that.
For his law firm. So I made a joke, like, it seems like anyone who goes on Ingraham now, they're just getting completely censored from social media.
Mm.
And the fact that they censored this video now, I got a couple emails from some really, really, really bright, smart listeners and people that follow us who said, you know, the doctors, sadly, their math is wrong and they're extrapolating incorrectly here. And what they're doing is potentially dangerous because they were not including the whole. It might make sense for me to just read this very intelligent email without mentioning who it was. You know who you are, and I appreciate you very much. Oh, I just got a court listener alert for the Flynn case. That means something is going on there. You know who you are, Miss Lady. Hold on, I'm just going to pause it real quick. All right, here it is. In research, there is a concept called selection bias. This happens when a researcher chooses their test subjects in such a way that the results will give them the answer they're hoping for. This doesn't necessarily happen intentionally. In this case, by using the results of tests performed on patients who are sick with respiratory symptoms, the doctors have performed selection bias when they attempt to extrapolate out those results to the general population. One could only apply the test results to the entire population if the tests were completely randomized within that population. So much of what the doctor said was on point and helpful, but their entire press conference was based on the mistake of believing that because, in the case in New York, 39% of the population has had coronavirus. Was based on the mistake of believing that because in the case in New York, 39% of the population has had the coronavirus. That mistake could be dangerous and couldn't changes everything and, in fact, could be dangerous. Now, I also got a response from somebody who is also in D. Because my brain, without sitting down to really, I didn't have time to like internalize this and really give it the brain power that it needs. Uh-huh. But my first thought was, well, then wouldn't their numbers be high? Like, wouldn't there be less of a percentage of death then if they expanded it out to every, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I can follow along with that. But you know, it's one of those things where I think that the biggest factor that is being injected into this entire thing is the factor that is injected into every other story and scandal that we've had to sift through, at least in recent years. And that is it's absolute and utter confusion.
Yeah.
In fact, the numbers that we're dealing with right now is making me go back and ask questions about China again. What was going on out there? I mean, they closed down. They closed down cities that were many times bigger than even New York, and how the hell are we? You know, I don't know. But over here in the United States, we are seeing, in many cases, state and federal government officials are telling us that they are presuming deaths, that they're categorizing COVID deaths in a very loosey-goosey way, seemingly to get the numbers up.
Yeah.
You know, so why are we, you know, committing to all these weird accounting practices to get numbers up when apparently in places like China, people were just falling flat on their faces in the middle of the street?
Yeah, that's what they say.
So it's everything is confusing.
It is. It's and we're not getting the truth. And so the whole point here, Dave Rubin was on with Tucker last night, who did a fantastic, beginning opening to the show that talked about this stuff. It talked about how social media is censoring anybody who doesn't agree with the WHO, but the WHO has been wrong on this thing from the beginning. It's just all about control, and people are getting sick of it now. Enough is enough is enough. So today, Brandon is flying to Michigan to be in their protest. Michigan is a powder keg. It is a powder keg waiting to explode. People in Michigan are absolutely fed up with what's going on there. So there's that.
What do you think that is doing? Because obviously there are people. And the other thing here is, there are people who don't like the protests that are going on, but then again,
they don't go.
Yeah, I know. But then again, the protests or the disapproval of the protests are being covered by media that has every reason in the world to want the protests to be subdued, and to want the lockdowns to go on, and for the pain to be dragged out. So what do you think is really going on in places like Michigan, which is one of those states that Democrats really want to be able to rip away in the election that's coming up? How do you think that these lockdowns are actually going over on people in these states? Because what was it, two or maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, we were looking at all the approval ratings for governors around the country, and something like Gavin Newsom in California has seen a bump of like 50%.
Yeah, that's I think it's all BS. I really do. I really think it's BS. Here's the end all be all, guys. This is my thoughts on this. And I think, Frank, I'd love to hear your opinion on it, too. The only way, if you live in one of these states, and I'm even getting really frustrated with the governor of South Carolina now. We had a superintendent come out yesterday and say that there will have to be social distancing through next year in the school. Like, how are you going to transport 70 kids on a bus with social distancing, you stupid moron? Anyway, there, go to work, open your businesses, and screw them. Just do it. What are they going to do? Arrest every business owner that opens up their business? I guarantee you, your store will be full of customers. And if you want social distancing inside your store, which, by the way, has not been scientifically proven at all, I've been doing a lot of research into that, then do that and limit the people that can be in there at one time. But everybody is collectively just going to have to open up their businesses at once. Just do it. What are they going to do to you?
They can't do anything. They can't do anything if we just finally find our balls.
Yes.
They can't do anything. Even on a state level.
Dude, this morning or last night, Mayor de Blasio, did you see what he tweeted?
Yeah, about Jews.
My God.
That is some brazen. That is brazen stuff right there.
I couldn't believe what I was reading. I couldn't believe it.
Wait. I want to go get the tweet again. Where the hell is it? Bill Wilhelm. Let's see here.
I got it.
Okay, go ahead.
My message to the Jewish community and all communities is this simple. The time for warnings has passed. I have instructed the NYPD to proceed immediately to summons or even arrest those who gather in large groups. This is about stopping this disease and saving lives, period. I mean, Hail Hitler, for God's sakes, are you serious? And not only that, but last night I retweeted this video. Let's listen to this really quick. It is absolutely heartbreaking. This is the same New York City. Are you ready?
Yeah. What's happening?
She is living with the dead body of her relative that passed away in her home because nobody will come and get the body.
Now, what is held back removal?
I don't know. There's a ton of different things it could be. It could be that they're full everywhere and there's nowhere to put it. It could be that there's a breakdown in the process somewhere because people are idiots. It could be that de Blasio's doing something we don't know. The point is, you know, this woman is living in her home with a dead body for days.
That's putrid.
And it's our family member.
She's got a and disturbing and hard. Yeah, especially. I mean, that's just.
And it doesn't say that the family member passed away from coronavirus. It just says that they passed away. I just can't even. Oh, my God. This poor woman. You could hear the pain in her voice. God.
This is the thing that gets me. It's just this pause to life and this selective. You get to go on as normal. You don't. Everybody stay inside. This once again, government picking winners and losers. And it's happening in many different ways. But it doesn't make any sense to me where you can actually go and you can make some kind of an argument that if people are dying one way or another, why the hell are we taking why are we taking the approach that we also lose our dignity as a people,
yeah,
as a society in the same way? If this is something we just have to fess up to and just face and get on through, why the hell are we going to make sure that whenever we come out on the other side of this, no matter what we look like on the other side of this, we're going to be just a neutered, abused group of people? I just don't understand.
Which means we need to go the F back to work. Open your business. Nobody has the right to tell you that you can't run your business. Enough is enough already. You did your part. This is my honest opinion at this point. There is no, this is getting ridiculous. I mean, it's getting absolutely absurd. How long are we going to sit here and deal with this nonsense before we do something about it?
The only thing that should have ever been done was people like Bill de Blasio urging everybody. Maybe you can give a little bit of an update every day, a couple times a week. What's going on, your efforts, and urging adult free individuals to use the information we have to the best of their ability, knowing if you are in these groups of people, you've got to be able to isolate yourself and make sure that you limit your visitors or you get trusted members of your family to deliver you some food until this all goes away. And for everybody else, you got to let them know that the death rate is under 1%. And life's got to life's just got to go on. So we missed that. We missed that. And now we're in this phase where everybody has to justify why we've torn apart American society in the way that we've done in the last month, 2 months now. Now everybody has to justify it. It's why I was saying you're looking at the padding of the numbers. And as we get closer, last night, oh God, Tracy, I hate it. I hate that I still listen to some terrestrial radio talk shows.
I know this, the same show you keep bringing up, the commercials.
Oh, and they're all CBS news briefs. And it is insufferable. The thing, the news briefs, it is all coronavirus related. It's all death toll updates. It's all everything. And now what they're saying is we have now surpassed the death toll of Vietnam.
Mm-hmm. Do you believe the question that reporter asked President Trump? Can you believe that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's so they have to find these horrific milestones. Even though if that's the case, then the flu kills more people than ever died in Vietnam every year. So and who blinks an eye? But now it's something else. My buddy Jim Lee came on last night and said, you know, hundreds of thousands of people die from diarrhea every year. You know, so you think about what we're dealing with and you think about how certain things have not panned out the way that these hysteria hucksters initially projected, and it's all now it's all a padding game, and it's all a thank God we did what we did game. It's all justification. There's always going to be a moving on the goalpost. Nobody will ever give an inch on anything ever. Ugh. So it's just like on every front, when the hell are we ever going to get any kind of vindication on every front? When are we ever going to get it? I don't know.
Who are we looking to give us vindication?
Yeah, nobody. I don't think so. But you want to know what would be an amazing victory is, like you just said, people just refuse to do anything. I would love to see in my town alone, 20,000 well-to-do people get arrested.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see my little town try to put 20,000 people in jail for carrying on with life. It would never happen. It would never happen.
No, okay. It wouldn't. That's why I'm saying, but it has to be a critical mass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like if I owned a business like a storefront business here, I would open it. And I'm telling you right now, I'm warning you, South Carolina. If any of our listeners are in South Carolina, I'm getting to my breaking point where I'm going to start putting boots on the ground here in the state. I don't do much locally. Usually I focus a lot on national stuff because that's what my work is. But I'm telling you, I'm going to get to all you mom groups. I'm going to get out there. I'm going to weasel my way in. And South Carolina is not going to know what the hell hit it. I'm so close. I'm so close. Because I'm tired of this nonsense. They need to do it. I would open up my store. I would open it up. And then if somebody wanted to come in, I would welcome them. And then we've got this, Frank. Then we've got this. Then we've got this.
I would get much more engaged in the world. We can't step back. If, in fact, for example, we solve the problem in the United States of America and you don't solve it in other parts of the world, you know what's going to happen. You're going to have travel bans. You're going to not be able to have economic intercourse around the world. There's a lot. Look, when America goes alone, when America is first, it's America alone.
When America is first, it's America alone, because economic intercourse is super important.
I can't tell you the last time I've had economic intercourse.
There needs to be consent.
Well, I mean, yeah, because then it's, yeah.
Right now, we've got economic rape is what we've got.
Absolutely.
No consent.
None.
And we have, oh, just real quick, back to the, I forgot to say this, back to de Blasio. On April 23rd, Frank, he said this to Muslim New Yorkers beginning their celebrations tonight who need halal meals. We have them across our 400 plus grab and go meal sites and are bringing hundreds of thousands more to the 32 sites most frequented by our Muslims communities.
But you Jews better stay home.
Nothing to see here.
I can't believe, you know, I it's. Oh, gosh. Oh, God. You know, it's hard enough being in New York. I'm just happy I'm not in the actual in the boroughs.
Yeah, me too, because I'm already mad enough at you that you're even there at all.
It's tough.
It is tough. Thank God I left. Thank God.
But you live within a stone's throw of the closest family in your life.
Oh, yeah. It's much different.
Yeah. Completely so, different. You know, if Lauren and I pack up and go, you know, move to, Wyoming or something like that, it's going to be us and rocks.
No, you're going to move here and then you can be a stone's throw from here. And we can do the podcast from next door of each other.
I think Lauren and I are going to move to Antarctica. She likes the cold.
There you go.
Right, Lauren? She doesn't like that.
I hear her back there. All right. Are you ready, Frank?
Yes.
Should we do a start to finish General Flynn review?
Please. I'm going to sit back and just absorb this.
It's going to be very broad. It's going to be as broad as it can be. You know, I'm not going to do like on February 7th. There, you know what I mean? I'm just going to tell the story real quick. So General Flynn started a business with his son, Michael Flynn Jr., and another gentleman called, his last name is Kian, called Flynn Intel Group, that did work for all kinds of different governments, et cetera, so on and so forth. And they were doing some work before the campaign even for a government, for a company in Turkey. So that was going on. And then Flynn and General Flynn and Mike Flynn Jr. started on the Trump campaign, and they were campaigning, and this guy was running the business on his own for the most part, kind of just involving them when needed. So the campaign goes on. Obviously the election happens. President Trump wins, and President Trump asks General Flynn to come into his administration and work with the Trump administration to enact all sorts of change and do all sorts of really great stuff, like unpoliticize these departments and the intelligence community. Mm-hmm. Before the inauguration actually happens, General Flynn gets a letter that says, hey, listen, you might have some Farah stuff going on here. You may need to declare for the work you did over in Turkey. Can you do me a favor, please, and take a look at what you did over in Turkey? See if you have to file Farah for that. Just registering that you're working on behalf of a foreign government when you're doing this work. You just have to register that with the government of the United States. So Flynn says, all right, let me get an attorney to help me with this that really knows what they're doing, because I don't, and I'm kind of busy right now. So he hires Covington and Burling. And they come in to do this FARA stuff, and they go through and they do all kinds of work on FARA, and they fill out all the forms and everything. And Flynn says, okay, you know, let's declare, even though we really technically don't have to, because we weren't doing any work for the Turkish government, let's instead, just for the sake of being completely, you know, careful, file FARA. So they can't come after us later and say you didn't do this. So they did file the FARA. Then the Obama administration, again, very high level, the Obama administration levies sanctions against Russia and expels diplomats from our embassies for, quote, hacking the DNC, which we know is a complete farce.
Right.
When that happens, of course, the ambassador to Russia and all kinds of other people that Flynn is talking to try to get in touch with him, because that's his job during the transition, to talk to these other nations and their ambassadors. And they try to get in touch with him to figure out how the new administration coming in is going to handle all this nonsense. What are they going to do? And General Flynn has a conversation with the Russian ambassador Kislyak on the phone. And that conversation, he's in the Dominican Republic on vacation when this happens. That conversation is recorded because it's with the foreigner. They're monitoring, or it's an ambassador. I'm not sure if it's because it doesn't really matter. They get the call. Somebody unmasks General Flynn and leaks it to the media. Once that stuff is leaked to the media, the stories start about how Flynn is working for a foreign government. He shouldn't be doing this. He should be, you know, he shouldn't be working with anybody. He's not, he has no position to do so. Let's get him on the Logan Act. All that stuff comes out. In the, at the same time as this is going on, there's a presidential brief that that General Flynn's involved in. And Joseph Pienka and Peter Strzok go in and they sit with him and the president, give him this brief, which we're now learning was a setup all along. And they say, you know, after they say in papers that we got after the fact that they went in there to be able to get a baseline for General Flynn's behavior. What is he like when he's normal? Like, so that we can tell if he's lying later. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're already knowing they're going to set the guy up. Then James Comey decides that they're going to send agents over to interview Flynn because they know, and they tell him he doesn't need a lawyer. And they know that they can get away with it because the Trump administration is new to government the way it should frickin' be. And they don't know all the rules and regulations. And General Flynn thinks he's having a friendly talk with the FBI when in actuality, they're setting him up for a perjury trap. So they're asking him all kinds of questions about what he said to the ambassador, et cetera, so on and so forth. And he says to them in that meeting, guys, you guys have the transcript. I don't remember exactly what I said. I could have said this. I could have said, I just don't remember. You have the transcript.
Oh, so he actually drops that to just check the transcript.
Yeah.
No, that sounds like a person that is, that's trying to hide something.
Yeah. So, you know, why at that point you have to say to yourself, why would you lie to people about what you said when you have acknowledged that they have the transcript of your freaking conversation?
Oh yeah. Because, and not only that, it also just goes to show that from your extensive time doing what you do, you understand that every time you get onto a telephone call, especially with a foreign dignitary, especially with someone from Russia, you're probably being recorded.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, it just goes to show that this has been ingrained in his mind. It is just learned behavior that has been second nature probably for decades. So I don't know. But like you said, it's all for know nothings to pick up on and use in an electoral sense. It's not about really talking about what happened.
Well, and again, I'm not even getting into, Frank, all the things that happened before this with Svetlana Lukova and all that nonsense, even though it's so important to the story.
Right.
You know, they accused him of having an affair with her, who was a Russian agent, in quotes, and used that as well to pull into this General Flynn colluded with Russia thing that they were going after him for. So anyway, long story short, they say that he lied. I have to refresh myself here. They do the interview. He says, you have the transcript. They come out of the interview. They write their 302s. Whatever that happens to those first 302s, nobody still knows to this day. The FBI says they lost them. Complete ridiculous lie. Didn't happen. They do another copy of them later on. Oh gosh, there's so much. Long story short, the agents that do the interview say that they do not think that General Flynn was lying during the interview. Mm-hmm. They say that. And they summarily dismiss any claim that General Flynn could be working with the government of Russia very, very early in the first quarter of 2017. The whole Mueller assertion is dismissed in terms of at least Flynn in early 2017. And again, the dossier plays in here. There's all kinds of details and minutia that go into this that we're not going to really talk about today to do an overview. But what ends up happening is Mueller is General Flynn's forced to step down for, quote, lying to Pence, which never happened. He didn't lie to Pence, which has always made me question Vice President Pence. Because if it weren't for that and the pressure that they all put on President Trump, General Flynn would have a job still, or would have stayed in his job and never would have had to resign. So fast forward, Mueller's appointed. Mueller starts talking to General Flynn, not in November of 2017 when he actually pleads guilty, but way before that, they're talking to him, doing interviews, blah, 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 blah. The Mueller team decides they're going to prosecute General Flynn's former business partner for FARA violations. They also decide that General Flynn is guilty of those same violations, but they say to him, And they determine that he lied to the FBI when he says he didn't say certain things about his conversation with Ambassador Kislyak. And General Flynn is counseled by his attorneys to plead guilty to lying to investigators. And they will let him basically walk, in quotes, on the FARA violations, even though they include them inside of his plea agreement. They don't charge him with anything. So it's lying to investigators.
Right.
One of the deals is that he needs to cooperate in the case against his business partner. So he decides that he's going to do that and he'll cooperate against his business partner. At the same time that that's going on, he's still being represented by Covington and Burling. And we learned just this week that as that plea deal was being negotiated, the attorney running the case for the government, Brendan Van Grack, was working on the side to condition the plea agreement without General Flynn knowing, which is completely illegal. Then the case goes on. They keep on postponing the case result because General Flynn is cooperating in this other case against the business partner. They give him glowing recommendation in front of the judge, Sullivan, about how helpful he's been, about how forthcoming he's been, about how great he's been, you know, just a star witness, just amazing, you know, glowing language about General Flynn and his cooperation with the government. They start talking about, you know, all the things, all the hours he's dedicated to this, all the time he's spent with them, all kinds of stuff. Then the special counsel winds down and General Flynn fires his attorneys, Covington and Burling. And this happens after that December hearing where the judge calls him a traitor.
Yeah.
And all that. Yeah. And he asks him if he's sure he wants to keep his plea deal. And he says, yes, General Flynn, under the counsel of his attorneys who just want this to go away. So he fires them after the special counsel ends, and he's one of the last threads that needs to be tied up along with Roger Stone, right? The other case goes to trial, and the government says to General Flynn, we need you to say that you knowingly lied on this FARA form. And General Flynn says, but I didn't knowingly lie. And the government says, well, that's what you have to say. And General Flynn says, no. I'm not going to tell them. I'm not going to admit to lying when I didn't lie.
This is Covington telling him this?
No, this is the government, the DOJ.
And he was still with Covington at the time?
No.
This is right when he brought on Sidney Powell.
This is when he brought on Sidney Powell. They want him to lie and he refuses to lie. And then everything changes, Frank. They say again they're going to go after his son. They start trashing him in front of the judge. They submit a thing that says he backed, you know, he went against what he was going to say in his plea deal. Sidney Powell starts filing motion after motion saying, we need this Brady evidence, like saying, you know, you've withheld all of this exculpatory evidence. Here are 43 things we know you have that we need. And the case against the business partner goes along. General Flynn is not even called to, I don't even believe he testified in that case at all. They somehow magically get a conviction, a criminal conviction of the business partner in the case. And the judge says it is so egregious and so horrible, and there was so little evidence for it, that we're reversing this plea. We're reversing this. We're throwing out the conviction, and the guy's innocent. That's how bad. That's how they needed General Flynn to lie for their case so badly that they lost the case without him. Mm. A judge intervenes in this case. I mean, it's unheard of. It's incredible. So the Judge Sullivan comes back and says, we're not giving you any of this stuff. You know, the government says they don't have it. You know, it's a back and forth about this exculpatory evidence. Then they kind of like, now the government is saying we're looking for a harsh sentence because he didn't do the things he was supposed to do. Like, they completely reversed course and switched what they had been saying forever. And all of that didn't matter anymore. And General Flynn was a horrible criminal who deserved the wrath of federal prison for at least a few years.
Yeah.
And a huge fine, right? And Sidney Powell eventually files a few motions. One, a motion to dismiss the case for egregious government misconduct. Two, a motion to withdraw his plea, meaning he wants to take that back. He doesn't want anymore to be held to that plea deal. And then also, she asserts that General Flynn's attorneys counseled him and there was malfeasance on the part of attorneys. Now, this is where we've been kind of in limbo, because the government, once that malfeasance claim is made against the attorneys, the government has to then review, right? In the interim of all this going on in the case, the back and forth, the exculpatory evidence, you know, the fact that they're fighting back and forth with the judge about it, it's been brutal. And again, I'm just glossing over details and minutiae here. It's evidence upon evidence upon evidence has come out in the public sphere through FOIA, through releases, that General Flynn was in fact set up by the government. And every time that happens, Sidney Powell introduces it and says, look, judge, look. Look what this means. Look what that means. And the judge has just been kind of like twiddling his thumbs, letting everybody respond to all this action that's going on in the case. Well, William Barr appoints a U.S. prosecutor to overlook how the case has been handled so far because of all the claims of, you know, just complete. This is so crucial to the whole Spygate narrative, because they had originally charged that General Flynn was working on, you know, colluding with Russia.
Right.
Right. And the Trump administration was colluding with Russia.
Yeah. General Flynn in his day to day activity in late 2016 was the reason why Joy Behar wet her pants on the air. When they thought
he was talking to the Russians.
She freaked out about it.
Yeah.
When they reported it. You know what? I almost want to find that clip.
That was the Brian Ross flub, right?
Yes.
You can find it.
Here.
When ABC's Brian Ross.
Oh, breaking news. ABC News' Brian Ross is reporting Michael Flynn promised full cooperation to the Mueller team and is prepared to testify that as a candidate, Donald Trump directed him to make contact with the Russians. Yes!
He goes. Wow. Wow. That's.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
We got him. Yes. We got him. Why?
We were colluding with the Russians.
Yes. Yes. We got him. Even if it was true, that should have been one of the most somber moments in American history to realize that kind of treason had been committed. But
and thinking about it now, the way that was worded, Donald Trump asked him to contact the Russian ambassador.
Yeah,
but that's not colluding with the Russians.
Yeah,
that's doing your job.
What are you doing? What are you talking about? This is you're not allowed to get a lay of the land. You're about to move into the White House. Not allowed to get a lay of the land. Foreign policy. While you don't want to actually start knowing who your contacts around the world are going to be.
It's I'm just looking for the Comey clip now, which I think that
I have Liberty. It. Go to my Twitter. It's like one of the last tweets I put on out there. It's at the top of it. By the way, I know that last night there was a problem with the DMs on Twitter, but there's something else going on there too. I have been, whenever I tweet something out, there is, I mean, sometimes an hour will go by where there's only 100 people have seen it, 5 likes, 1 retweet, and it'll just sit there in stasis.
Yep.
So something's going on.
Here.
It's appreciation for.
I sent them. something I probably wouldn't have done or maybe gotten away with in a more organized investigation, a more organized administration, in the George W. Bush administration, for example, or the Obama administration. The protocol, two men that all of us have perhaps increased appreciation for over the last 2 years. And in both those administrations, there was process. And so if the FBI wanted to send agents into the White House itself to interview a senior official, you would work through the White House counsel, and there'd be discussions and approvals and who would be there. And I thought, it's early enough, let's just send a couple guys over.
You know, right there, pause for a second. You really think about this here. You remember we would talk about Susan Rice and that bullshit email that she sent herself, the Obama told everybody to play it by the books.
Yep.
This is what she probably meant. This is what she was covering up, because as you can hear, see here now, of course, it's the audience and the host of this little shindig over here is just eating up this this crap. Because, of course, first for him to put on out there with his straight face, deadpan little delivery, that there was more process and organization in the George Bush administration, where everybody got to laugh because, of course, Bush, right, Bush, mm-hmm. right.
That moron.
So and then for him to say that it was early enough in the Trump administration to what? To break the law?
To take advantage. I know. Yes, exactly.
It was early enough that the law didn't apply. What is this reasoning that everybody is like, oh yeah, you sometimes you just got to wheel and deal.
If it's early enough, you know?
It's unbelievable what he's actually telling people, and they're all laughing and clapping because, of course, they've been conditioned Orange Man Dad, you know, and that's just exactly what's happening right here. And that's why I would really love this guy to get completely demolished.
I mean, yes, for sure.
Demolished.
So where was I now? So Barr appoints a special prosecutor to take a look at this case, which is obviously handled absolutely disgustingly by the Department of Justice Mueller team. And just this week, and I've skipped over so many details and little things that have happened and so many facts and stuff, but there may be one place very soon you'll be able to read all those things in one place altogether. The special prosecutor just this past week comes to Sidney Powell and says, hey, by the way, we just found all this exculpatory information that we're giving to you right now here under seal. And there's a lot more coming in the future. So all of the things the FBI denied they ever had are in the possession of the DOJ right now. And they had them the whole time. And Sidney Powell files a supplement to her motion to dismiss for egregious government misconduct. And she says, this is just, please unseal this immediately so that we can show the public what this is. And at the same time as that's going on, a couple days before, actually, the lawyers, the attorneys, the old attorneys, Covington and Burling, who are now trying to feverishly defend their conduct during the time that they counseled General Flynn into the plea deal, magically found a few documents that they had forgot to give over during the transfer file, when the attorneys are supposed to transfer the entire contents of the case file for the client to the new attorneys, so the new attorneys can pick up the case where they had left off.
Amazing. Amazing how also in this entire timeline of events that we're looking at here, we have it is rife with lawyers that are out to screw over their own clients.
Isn't it amazing?
From Michael Cohen recording private conversations and whatever to these guys at Covington.
Slime balls, all of them. So then We get the government motion thing that comes out, and everybody's, and that's when all the Maria Bartiromo stuff starts happening. You know, that he'll be completely exonerated this week. The judge files an order on the docket, a minute order, where he says, here are your deadlines for people to respond to these motions. Everybody freaked out and said, oh, he's delaying it. No. This judge has not been the fairest to General Flynn thus far. I will grant you that. And it's very weird because Sidney Powell literally wrote a book about how fair this judge is, especially in terms of Brady, which is exculpatory information to the defendant. So the minute order comes out that says, you guys have to file, in the interest of justice, the government has to file a response to Mr. Flynn's supplement no later than May 11th. And Mr. Flynn has to file his reply no later than May 18th. Now, understand, there's a lot of information they need to go through and write responses about. It's not just a 1-2-3 thing. It takes a lot of time. But in the interim of that going on now, Covington yesterday comes forward and says that they found 6,800 further pieces of communication that General Flynn should have had when they left. And they say, just in context, we've already produced 180,000 pages. Like because they've already produced this much, this little bit here is just an oversight by their IT company. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, can you imagine that? Hey, listen, we gave you 10 million pages of shit. So what if we forgot the last 2,000 pages of gold?
One line in those 2,000 pages could completely turn this entire case on its head.
It's so ridiculous for volume to be any kind of a defense is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. So with that being said, I thought we might, Frank, listen to the interview that Sidney Powell gave to Lou Dobbs yesterday. Did you get a chance to hear that yet?
No, I heard a minute and a half long clip of Sidney Powell on Hannity, but not Dobbs.
Okay. It's 8 minutes, I believe, but it's 7 minutes. But I think we need to listen to it and piece it apart a little bit. Before we do that, I want to spell out for everybody in my non-lawyerly opinion what the different paths that this case could take right now are. A. The government, the DOJ under Barr, with this new special prosecutor looking into the case, can decide to drop all of the charges. And again, I have really not done the injustice in this case any justice in this summary. It is abhorrent. The devil's in the details in this case. It is absolutely abhorrent. Even if you hated the person on the other end of this treatment, you should be disgusted by what the Justice Department did to this man. Disgusted. Number two, the judge can rule yay or nay on the motion to dismiss the case for egregious misconduct. He's going to have to rule on some of them. The only way he doesn't have to rule on any of this stuff is the DOJ says, we're dropping this. Then it's case closed. Number three, the judge can rule yay or nay on General Flynn's request to revoke his plea agreement and go to trial. And those are, I believe, the three motions that are out there right now. Sidney Powell says in this interview, which we'll listen to, that the government and Sidney and the defense are going to enter a consent order into the case, which allows this information that was produced to be released to the public with some redactions. Which would be amazing, because as more and more of this stuff, this is the beginning of the avalanche, in my opinion. If the Justice Department dismisses the charges or dismisses this case, we are about to begin the roll up, IMO. So,
I will start brewing some coffee.
I wish I had a cup of coffee right now.
Yeah, well, I had Lauren made me a nice strong cup of coffee before we started, and that's why we had to take a little bit of a pause in our recording.
I miss Lauren. I have to tell you, it's been a while since I've seen her.
She is enjoying her birthday today.
Oh, it's her birthday?
Yes, it's her birthday.
Happy birthday, Lauren.
Yeah, happy birthday, Lauren.
So, aw, she's so cute. I love her.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart.
God, you're so lucky.
I am.
You really are.
I'm a very lucky guy.
Oh, okay, here we go. Lou Dobbs.
Joining us tonight is General Flynn's attorney, Sidney Powell. She's also a former federal prosecutor, author of the new book, Conviction Machine, Standing Up to Federal Prosecutorial Abuse.
By the way, Sidney Powell, I mean, if they ever make a movie of this, it would make a movie. This would make a movie. And Sidney Powell is sitting there right now. She looks exuberant, vibrant, reassured, confident. The smile says it all. She looks great. Just want to say.
Oh, yeah. No, she is powerful.
She sure fucking is.
Yeah, she's powerful.
Beep. Beep.
We need one of those.
Oh, Lord. I'm jotting down so many times. Okay.
Available everywhere. We recommend it to you highly. Sidney, great to have you with us. Straightforwardly, did the government, and most specifically the FBI officials and Justice Department officials under the Obama administration, did they frame General Flynn?
Yes, sir, they did. There's no doubt about it. August 15, Strzok and Page texted each other about the insurance policy they discussed in McCabe's office. The very next day, they opened the, quote, investigation, end quote, on General Flynn. And the day after that, as we just learned from the IG report in December, they sent an agent into what was supposed to be a trusted presidential briefing solely because General Flynn was going to be there and they wanted to collect information on him, gauge his mannerisms. In the event they needed to interview him later, i.e. as if Trump was elected to the presidency and Flynn wound up in the White House.
It's stunning what we're learning more than three years now distant from these events, these criminal acts and the subsequent cover-ups that persist to this very day, because you're just now receiving evidence and documents that some had told you didn't exist and that apparently no one else believed existed either. Your thoughts?
No one but me, apparently. I've known the whole time they were hiding any number of things, and they had even produced summaries of documents they admitted were exculpatory to General Flynn, but only gave us 3 or 4 line summaries, and inexplicably, Judge Sullivan would not order them to produce the whole documents. You can't rely on a summary by the government on any document whatsoever. It doesn't even meet the qualifications of exculpatory evidence, because a summary isn't evidence. So they should have given us all those documents, and there are more notes and emails that are in our sealed filing last Friday. The government has advised now they're working with the FBI to make some redactions on those to protect the names of the guilty, and not their words, but mine. And they should be ready to give us by tomorrow at the latest.
This is simply awful, because it raises into question, obviously, we know what the Justice Department and FBI leaderships were under President Obama and those holdovers that President Trump had.
I love Lou Dobbs, but I'm just going to fast forward a little bit here because I have to go through the Grassley letter before we end. And I'm just going to skip to Sidney Powell's response.
Yeah, no problem.
For a very long time.
Well, he appointed Mr. Jensen from Missouri to review the case file, I believe, in January, and it's just that nobody knew about it. And this is a result of him providing adult supervision to what are former members of the Mueller hit squad, i.e. Mr. Van Grack in particular, to correct these injustices and produce the actual evidence of what they did.
So when she says no one knew about it, she means no one knew about the exculpatory information, I think. I don't think she means no one knew about the special prosecutor being assigned, because people did. That's basically the brunt of what she says, to be honest. She says some other things, but they're not like groundbreaking. And I really want to go over this Grassley stuff that I have. So Sidney Powell is when Lou Dobbs pushes back against Sidney Powell and says, you know, they're not doing anything. You know, how could you have so much patience? Powell is very confident and feels, and she says they're doing something. They are doing something. She pushes back against the, you know, it's been too long, blah, blah, blah. She's feeling good. She's feeling like they're doing stuff. Mm-hmm. So throughout this whole thing, Chuck Grassley has been involved in the General Flynn case with letters and things back and forth, wanting the exculpatory information, kind of giving everyone hints as to what it all means. So there's Jared Kushner. It's a parody account. It's J-A-R-R-A-D Kushner.
Gerard
Kushner. Oh, it says Jaded Kushner.
Oh.
In the he does like kind of like a timeline. There was a June 6, 2018 letter to Rod Rosenstein from Grassley, where he says, you know, some of the information that we requested on a bipartisan basis before our confirmation has not been provided. We've been waiting more than a year for this inquiry related to Flynn to conclude. It's been more than 5 months since he pled guilty. There's no longer any legitimate reason to keep facts from the Senate about this. You know, second, the letter you guys sent us suggests that complying with congressional oversight would result in, quote, the reality or appearance of political interference of a pending criminal investigation or prosecution. There is no pending prosecution. The guilty plea was more than 5 months ago. And if facts are inconsistent with the plea agreement, that would be an entirely different kettle of fish. This isn't an ordinary case. It's the heart of a political firestorm over the president's alleged statements about it to the former FBI director, who he later dismissed. Congress has the right to know the full story. Talking about how President Trump said, I hope you'll leave Flynn out of this. He's a good guy. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
So that was the letter. And then we got a reply letter from the DOJ and the FBI May 29th of 2018 that basically said, go scratch. He says, whatever Mr. Comey may have said and whatever Mr. Flynn's demeanor, the evidence in the public record proves beyond any reasonable doubt that Mr. Flynn knowingly made false statements about contacts with the Russian ambassador. This is signed by Stephen Boyd, I believe, Assistant Attorney General at the time. And it comes from you know, FBI Director Wray and the DOJ. And it goes on and on about how they don't have to give the government anything. They don't have to give Congress anything. They're not entitled to anything. And Grassley had asked for them to produce Joseph Pienka for an interview before Congress, and they refused to do it. Joseph Pienka was one of the agents that interviewed Flynn. So yesterday we got a letter from Grassley that comes out and says, on February 15th, 2017, I wrote to the department requesting a copy of the transcript between General Flynn and the Russian ambassador and the report summarizing the intercepted call. Instead of providing that stuff, I received a briefing from Comey. In the briefing, Director Comey said the FBI agents that interviewed Flynn saw nothing that led them to believe he was lying. And he led us to believe the department was unlikely to prosecute Flynn for false statements. Mm. Then during his book tour, he denied any memory of those comments.
Of course.
So then he goes through the timeline. May 11th, I requested categories of documents relating to the case from Rod Rosenstein. May 29th, they said that they would not be producing the records. June 6th, 2018, I wrote a follow-up letter, noted that if the facts of the case are inconsistent with the plea, that would be an extraordinarily concerning finding that would warrant continued congressional oversight. And then this is in an April 24th, 2020 letter from the interim U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, Timothy Shea, the Attorney General directed that U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Missouri conducted an independent review of the Flynn case. And as a result of this review, the EDMO has identified and produced new documents, which they have publicly characterized as exculpatory evidence. Simply stated, after years of rampant speculation and publicly reported inconsistencies regarding how they handled this case, it's time for the public to know the full set of facts relating to Lieutenant General Flynn, including any and all government misconduct. Hmm. Please unseal these documents.
6,800. You know, you think about that once again, the what's been held back.
6,800, which Sidney Powell says in here. Hold on.
Monday, but they're in the process of doing that, hopefully by tomorrow. And then they have to respond to our motion to dismiss by May 11th.
Hold on 1 second. She says it in here.
Surely this judge is, he's a federal judge. He's been on the bench for some time. Surely he understands that the General Michael Flynn, a patriot, a man who served his nation with distinction, is the victim here, and the perpetrators are apparently the representative, his representation team that preceded you, the FBI, and the Justice Department. Why doesn't he just bring the hammer down on this mess and set the General Flynn free of this nonsense? This is an outrage, and it just goes on and on. It's as if whoever is not corrupt in the judicial system apparently is just stupid.
It is beyond an outrage, Lou. It is a travesty of justice. It's a blight on the face of our entire country. But I do believe the Department of Justice under Bill Barr is going to produce the evidence that we're entitled to. And then the only result, the only possible result, is for the entire matter to be dismissed.
It was 180,000 pages. So 6,800 productions at 180,000 pages.
And then you think about Hillary Clinton email. So it's the inverse here. So it's almost like a mirrored image of itself. Where you want to talk about omission, you know, 6,800. Oh, it's nothing. Yeah, you know, we gave you summaries and oh, we just found it right now. 30,000 emails out of however else. I mean, what do you think is really inside those 30,000? What is it? And it's just the same thing. It's always a hide the ball trick.
Yeah.
Constantly hiding the ball. This is government.
It's sick. It's sick. And I'm telling you, it's the beginning of the end for them. This is the beginning of the end. As soon as we get motion here, which will be soon, it's going to happen. This is it. Mark the day that General Flynn is exonerated. That is going to be the beginning of the next phase. It is.
Well, you know, it's almost like the what the hell is I just going to say? It's almost like the in a much smaller sense, Alyssa Milano and this whole Tara Reid thing that's going on with Joe Biden. When she, you know, she's what is it she said? I had it in yesterday's. Let me go to it. Yesterday's. Yeah.
I'm almost afraid to talk about this because I don't want him to step down.
Oh, I know. But she said this. This was some really ridiculous thing she said on yesterday morning. I'm aware of the new developments in the Tara Reid's accusations against Joe Biden. New developments. The old one should have been enough, according to the Me Too logic of tearing down the world whenever a woman says anything. But she goes, I want Tara, like every other survivor, to have the space to be heard and seen without being used as fodder. Exactly. This is the whole thing here about General Flynn and everything else there, too. It's not that they are worried that anything is being used as fodder. They're afraid that there is no way to be fair about situations like these without damaging either a senile last hope presidential candidate or damaging the entire collusion narrative you built upon the cornerstone that was General Flynn. You know, It's just like it's not that you are worried about one story being fodder and one story being not, because this is the same type of the same group of people that created hundreds of hours of television coverage over things like scoops of ice cream and how the president eats KFC and whether or not he was being a little bit too cavalier with the way that he distributed paper towels in Puerto Rico. I mean, it's just so as far as fodder goes, these people are nincompoops to even try to think that they're trying to be very, very selective with what they cover because they want to get it right. No, they're afraid of fairness actually being damaging to the worldview that they have been trying to build in the average American's mind for all these years. That's all this is about.
You're absolutely right. And it's sick. It's sick. And just to let you know, on that vein, I wanted to talk about this. We don't really have a lot of time at all, actually. But did you read? There is now an open criminal investigation against the chloroquine drinking poisoner.
I know I didn't hear it, but I'm glad.
Yeah, they're criminally investigating the wife of that guy that apparently they were so stupid that they went and drank fish tank cleaner. Well, it looks like there's a good chance this woman might have killed her husband with poison.
Well, I guess lock me away for slander, because that's exactly. When I, as soon as I read this, I said, this woman killed her husband, and she wanted to get some she wanted to get some headlines. This woman killed her husband, and she wanted to get in the news. That's
His friends are all out there saying he would never do that.
Yeah,
he would never. He's an engineer. He would never do that.
You want to talk about fodder again? The Lysol Clorox nonsense from over the weekend that is already behind us. That nobody's talking about it anymore. The disinfectant weekend programming that the media put on out there for all the idiots. These are the only people that I said, you know, you want to see what these people in the media and on the left really think about you. Look at the programming on the over the weekend, begging you not to go drink Clorox, like they think you're a retard.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I mean, they hate you so much that they think you're so stupid that you would go out and drink Clorox if they didn't tell you not to.
Meanwhile, if you are a Democrat from Arizona, maybe you would. Especially if you needed to kill your husband.
Isn't that saying something?
Yeah.
Isn't that saying
something? They're not talking to us. That's for sure.
Well, look, I hope that that was a helpful sort of very high level overview of the General Flynn case. I have done this now a few different times, and I keep doing it because I feel like this is really, really important that people understand what happened here. And it's hard to keep it all straight. So I want to keep on hammering it down, like, you know, so that people have at least a very broad overview of what happened to this poor man. And I'm sure that very, very soon we are going to have a few special guests on the show to talk about all of this.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
So you have been listening to the Wednesday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
It's a girl, Val, and...
Oh, you're in trouble. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and RadioInfluence.com. We will see you Friday, guys.
Later.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.